Good morning, everybody. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. All right. Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather and the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it, except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They began to discuss this among themselves, saying, "He said that because we did not bring any bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, this morning, as we gather to seek your word, Lord, and seek after your heart, Lord. We pray for your blessing as well as your teaching to come upon us, and that we may just absorb everything that you would like to share with us today. Let us really just catch on to the heart of the message, your heart, Lord, as we seek after you. We thank you, Lord, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we begin with the Pharisees and the Sadducees gathering together to confront Jesus. And this is significant because the Pharisees and Sadducees, like, hate is a strong word, but they really oppose one another. So for those of you who don't know what the difference is, here's the difference between the Pharisees and Sadducees and why they oppose one another. So they're both obviously followers of Yahweh, but they stand for very different things. It'd be like us and as Protestants, as Christians, and say like the Catholic Church, but even more opposing. So the Pharisees, they follow the written word, but as well as they follow the oral tradition, the Talmud, and they will follow that to the T, whereas the Sadducees only follow the written word. Another difference is the Pharisees believe in angels and resurrection of the dead, whereas the Sadducees do not. Another difference is the Pharisees, they don't really get involved with politics, right? So they want to separate, I guess, religion and the state. The state does their own thing. It doesn't even matter which state is in power, but as long as they can just, gather together at the temple, worship, follow their traditions, they're happy. Whereas the Sadducees, they feel it's okay. And in fact, they think it's a great thing to be involved with politics. So they feel like religion and state can be one. So as a result, many of these Sadducees are like aristocrats. They're very involved and collaborating with the Romans. And as a result, they are oftentimes people who are in power as well as in wealth. So even my general perception of Sadducees is they're like Pharisees, but they wear really nice robes. But of course, it's a little more than that. So it's significant that they actually gather together, even though they oppose one another, is because at this point, they're just feeling so intimidated by Jesus. So they gather together and they say to Jesus, they want him not just to give a sign, but they wanted to give a sign from heaven. So it's significant because they feel that so far, all the miracles that Jesus has done, supernatural, I mean, water to wine, healing, many, many healings, but they feel like these are just signs from earth. And signs from earth, they can be counterfeited. So what they're asking for is a sign from heaven. And Jesus is like, oh man, like, why are you even asking this? You know, if you look at the weather, you know, in Hong Kong, you feel it's really humid, it's dark, you know it's going to rain, right? We can tell already it's going to be amber storm or black rain. We can feel it coming, but you can't even tell through these signs what's to come. Right? And what he's saying is, the problem is not the signs. The problem is you. It's your heart. He says, do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? And he says, this adulterous generation where you just want a sign, you just want a sign, you're not going to get a sign, except the sign of Jonah. So what is the sign of Jonah? Is it a giant whale gobbling us up? No. So what is the sign of Jonah? Well, we know that the sign to come is obviously Jesus, his sacrifice, his resurrection. So when it's referencing the sign of Jonah, these are the similarities between Jonah and Jesus. So Jonah sacrificed himself that others would be saved. Jonah disappeared from all human view in doing this. Jonah was sustained the days when he could not be seen. Jonah came back after 3 days as back from the dead, and Jonah preached repentance. So this could be what would be the signs of Jonah. And then shortly after this, The disciples are hungry. They forgot to bring bread. And Jesus, I mean, understandably how the disciples were confused, because it was the context. Jesus says, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're confused. They're like, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the bread that we don't have, that we're going to eat? And of course, Jesus is like, oh, I can't believe you guys, you knuckleheads. After all that's happened, after all the supernatural provision, you guys are still not, still thinking about food all the time. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's telling them to beware of the doctrine that the Pharisees and Sadducees are giving and how it influences and infiltrates and just impacts people. And for me, I actually really, as I read this, I kind of really identified with the Pharisees and Sadducees. What I mean is, you know, being a leader at church, and I have people I'm shepherding, and perhaps this speaks to you as a house church leader as well, who you also have sheep. It's kind of a warning, or just getting you to be careful of the way you're shepherding, right? And to not give doctrine that will mislead your sheep. What I mean is, I think sometimes as leaders, we can get kind of lost where we don't perhaps spend enough time with God. We don't hear the voice of God. And we start to do things or try to say things to our group. And okay, this is maybe a silly example, but even like the beginning of house church, we always send out a house church email. And I remember one year I wrote this like email that I thought was like fine. I was kind of joking, but at the end I was talking about commitment, and I said basically the only reason you should miss house church is if you're like because of a business trip, or if you're dead. And then I was like, that's so funny. Like, people definitely know I'm joking. People didn't think I was joking. And they were really offended. And then I'm like, dude, what's wrong with them? And in the end, I humbled myself. And because I read the email, and I'm like, even if I did mean that, it's not that bad, right? All I say is commitment. But I realized if I was really offended, and then I like, you know, got into this debate or argument about it, and or I can even ask people like, oh, if Amanda came up to me and said, oh, you know, I was really offended, you know, because they were already committed and they felt like, why are you saying this to me? And I said, I could be like, well, why are you really offended? And kind of like target that, rather just humble myself and say sorry. And the reason is, it's easy as leaders, as we lead, we actually make it about ourselves, right? As in, like, we want to get things to run orderly, we want people to come on time, and all that. But and there is a biblical element of that, right? But is that really what I want to say is the spirit of the law, right? Versus the letter of the law, just the letter of the law. And often we take the letter of the law too far. But you need the spirit of the law, which is love, right? We know even with Satan, he uses the doctrine, you know, the words, and he twists them, right? It's because he doesn't have the spirit of the law. So as we lead, and as we're leaders, and we're taking care of our sheep, what is the spirit of the law? And at the very end, it basically says, as a disciple, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So it's really not about ourselves. And it goes a step further here, not just love others as yourself, but it says you should just lose your life for his sake, right? Okay, let's speed along. So after this, as he warns them about the Pharisees and Sadducees, they arrive in Caesarea Philippi. And this is a sinful place. It's where the Gentiles are. It's where many gods were created. Baal, this is his, I guess, origin. And so spiritually a dark place, but ironically, it's also a place where Jesus finally has a little peace because there's no more like Pharisees coming to challenge him. So he has some time to finally disciple and speak to his 12. And he asks, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, all, good people, but they don't really hit the mark of Jesus. And finally, he asked Simon Peter, and he said, who do you say? Or actually, he doesn't ask him specifically. He just says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter just comes out and says it. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And FYI, Christ, that's not Jesus' last name. What Christ means in Hebrew is the anointed one. So he's saying, you are the anointed one, aka also the Messiah, the Son of living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because of flesh and blood did not reveal to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he's saying, this revelation is something that is supernatural. It's something divine that God revealed to you. And you could say this is, let me get this right, naturally supernatural. This is naturally supernatural. It's so natural. It's not like, he's like, who are you? It's not like Peter, when he got asked this question, he was like, okay, give me a sec, God, let me pray. And he started speaking in tongues. And then he's like, then God answered. He just said it, right? And he just flowed with divine revelation. He probably didn't even know it was divine, but it was divine because Jesus said so. And this is naturally supernatural as it gets. And he's given a two thumbs up. And I'm going to skip some stuff. But in contrast, just a second later, Jesus foretells his death and he shares what's going to happen. And Peter, you could understand Peter. He's feeling pretty good. He stepped out in faith, said what he had to say. You are the Christ. Next second. And then the next, Jesus says, good job. That wasn't just, good wisdom. That was like supernatural wisdom. That was from God. So he's feeling pretty good. So Jesus shares now that about his foretelling of his death. And he takes Jesus aside in private. So he's had time to process at this point. And he feels like, oh, I think I got something good again. And he rebukes Jesus and says to him, this can never happen. And Peter, this the response that Jesus gives him this time is, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. 1 second, his supernatural revelation, divine inspiration. Next second, like the worst, he's called Satan, right? Get behind me, Satan. So what's happening? How can there be such two contrasting results? You might study and what happened? What was going on with Peter? Why is it that in one instance he was so in sync, in the next second he's so off? And I would say it's actually the wrong perspective, right? It's not that one was right and one was wrong. I think the key is in both instances, he was intimate, number one, with Jesus, and he could hear the voice of Jesus. So in the case of the first instance, he spoke out in faith, and then he was taught, yes, that is correct. In the next instance, he spoke out, in his strong belief, his love for Jesus, and then Jesus says, that's wrong. If that happens, no cross, no resurrection, that would be Satan's work. So the danger for us is not actually making the wrong decision. The danger is we make the wrong decision But we don't hear the voice of God. And we continue making wrong decisions. And we're just going about this path. If you look, Jesus rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." What is the consequence? The consequence is really just that, right? It's like, oh, you did, that's the wrong decision. Peter didn't actually go through with that, right? And I want to invite Janelle up. And I feel like for today, what we need to really look at here is we don't need to fear making mistakes. We don't need to fear the decisions of, should I do this or should I do that? What we need to really be afraid of is if we don't hear the voice of God, if we are not intimate. Because then you never know if you're actually on the right path, right? But we need to ask ourselves, is that actually what we're afraid of? Is that what you're actually afraid of? Is that what you're afraid of not being intimate, of not being able to hear? Or is it actually these decisions, these choices that we need to make? So as Janelle leads us, let's just go before God. Whatever that you have burdened upon your heart, whatever decisions, whatever worries you have, take this time to submit it. And as you submit it afterwards, then respond and just cry out with that desire that you need his presence, that you need to hear his voice, you need him to guide you. Because otherwise, we don't even know if we're on the right or wrong path, right? And that's when we really struggle. That's when we get depressed because we don't know if this is the will of God, right?
So many songs, listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me. Perfect melody. listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love. Sung it over me and for eternity is written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's singing over me. The Father's song, heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has set for me. Singing over me, the Father's song, heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. Now you're singing.
Father, Lord, even just as we sing, God, we're just reminded of your goodness, and that the heart and love that you have for us, and how you're a Father who guides us and who's just so safe, Lord, for us to trust and for us to give our life to, Lord. So, Lord, would you help us in our journey as we continue to walk and live this life for you? Would you speak to us, guide us, help us to see when you are at work and hear when you are speaking to us through different circumstances? May your word just jump out and minister to us, Lord, as well. And even as we go about it, that we would have the right heart, a heart that is not seeking to build ourselves up, Lord, but really to build up your kingdom as well as build up others around us, Lord. Thank you. For all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to do something a little different today during the prayer portion. If you could just find somebody to, find one person to pray with. Just sit beside them, if you could, right now. So Ben, you're with Ash. Yeah. Okay. So Ricky, maybe you can go with him in the white. Maybe okay, I'll go with Ben. Ash, can you go with him? Okay, Ben, come. You're with me. So we're doing something different today. But in light of the message about the importance and even our heart's desire to hear the voice of God and to be guided by Him, we're going to pray for one another, but in the hearing God's voice aspect. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to do a short timer. I do this with my house church almost every week, and I'm just going to give you 1 minute to just hear for the other person. That's it. Simple. And just be open. As some of you, maybe you're kind of nervous as we're about to share what we feel like God has impressed on our heart for the other person. But don't be, because this is a safe place. And even if you get nothing, it's really okay. So if you really didn't get a message for the other person, just say, oh, sorry, I didn't really get anything, which is totally fine as well. But I believe that if you're open and you just want to build the person up next to you and let that be your focus, just to love the person, I believe that God will speak to you. So I will open us up. Father, Lord, we recognize that if we're to speak anything that is of value that would really build up the other person, Lord, it must come from you. Just as Peter received that divine revelation of who you are, Lord, we also need that divine revelation now. So would you supernaturally just speak to us, Lord, words that would edify the other person, that would encourage, and the person would feel so lifted and loved and know that you are for them in their life, Lord. We pray against distractions from the enemy, and even the distraction of ourselves and being sometimes too hypersensitive and aware of trying to hear, Lord. But we just surrender that to you, Lord, and we ask that Holy Spirit, you would come and speak to us, Lord. Bring clarity of what you're trying to share, that we would not even add anything to it, but we'd just be faithful to what you would want us to share, Lord. So just come, Holy Spirit. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to start the 1 minute timer. And at this point, let's just try to listen. Okay, that 1 minute is up. Again, it's really quick. And the point is also that sometimes we hear stuff and we're like processing, is it that, isn't it? So this is just so you just practice and you just speak it out, right? So what I want you to do is share with each other first, but don't pray. Okay, share with each other first, and then about what you sense the Holy Spirit was speaking, and then also receive feedback. Right, and if the feedback is wrong or whatever, it's okay as well, right? Again, it's not about us, Lord. It's not about us. So share, and after you share and get feedback, then hopefully if it's on point, even if it's off, then when you do pray and bless one another afterwards, then it'll be more effective. So please go ahead and share. I'll just close us in prayer. But feel free to continue to pray on your own afterwards. Seek out the voice, God's voice for you. And hopefully with whatever was shared, that you would feel even more motivated to hear from Him and even receive more. Father, Lord, we thank You for this day, God, and we just thank You for Your faithfulness and Your sharing and using us, Lord, and just continue to speak to us as individuals as well. I mean, it was wonderful to hear through our brothers and sisters of Your love and Your guidance for us, but we need to hear individually, Lord. We desire to hear from our Father, and Lord, just continue to do that and draw us near to You this day. May the Lord just bless Your spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit and lead Your body and soul. We thank You, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please continue to share and pray with one another.